This is the Sports Fever. If it's a sport, we cover it. And here are the hosts, Anthony Colasano, Dom DeRosa, Noah Gugliotta, also known as Googs, and Sean Johnson.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me is three-fourths of the Sports Fever crew, Sean Johnson and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as...
Googs. Oh, yeah. Let's go.
And joining us via Zoom is a very special guest. He's been on the show once before. In studio when we used to record it at Ryder, Jimmy Mulvaney joins us back once again with some very exciting news. It was announced, I want to say, was it October?
End of September. I think it was September 28th.
Okay. So on that day, it was announced that Jimmy has committed to play Division I baseball for Fairfield. It is in the MAC conference where Ryder plays. So he'll be playing our alma mater during his collegiate career, and it's one of the better programs in the country for baseball. And Jimmy, I'll just start with this. What was the deciding factor in Fairfield?
Yeah, thank you for having me on, first of all. It was definitely a long process. I know last time I was on the show, we were talking about it. That was when the whole recruiting process was kind of getting started for me. You know, as things picked up, like we went down south over the summer, pitched in some big tournaments, and started getting on the phone more, where it was 10 or 15 schools at the time. And then started to narrow down my list. Fairfield was definitely on there. Once I got on campus, I kind of knew, like, if we can make this work, this is the place I want to go. And they made an offer. We were able to make it work. And I got up there with my family and just knew it was the right spot. And I locked it in right then.
Now, is it a full ride or is that not finalized?
It's a scholarship offer. That's like about as far into it as I can go. But
okay,
scholarship offer, play Division I. You know, it's always been my dream, and super excited.
Playing D1 ball is kind of like the pinnacle of what you strive for, you know, at this point in your pitching career. And now that you're there, does the thought set in that, like, all right, I'm here now? And that if you do a good job, which we think you are, we want you to succeed and, you know, achieve the highest of, you know, greatness, you know, in college ball. I mean, does the major leagues set in?
That's definitely always the end goal. I feel like anyone who picks up a baseball when they're younger, you know, watching it on TV, getting to know the game, that's always their goal. And that's always been my main goal. And now as I'm older, my goal now is to just make it as far as I possibly can, just take it step by step. So I got this step out of the way, you know, locking into school, finding a place I want to go, getting my name out there to get recruited. But the next step for me is just to help out my high school team and get ready to pitch at Fairfield and then hopefully help them out as much as I can. But yeah, no, the main goal is definitely to get as far as I can in my baseball career. You know, major leagues would be great. Just the focus now is developing my game and being the best I can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then also, like, now that, you know, you committed to Fairfield, that whole kind of distraction is kind of over now. You don't have to think about it so much. You really focus on kind of your academics and just focus on what you have to do for St. Joe's. Sean and I'll keep you guys new next.
One question I got for you here is how big of a role has your family played in your baseball career and getting you to where you are today?
Yeah, I know. I'm sure you know, being around each other as much as we are, my family is probably plays the biggest part in all this. My parents, especially, you know, from when I was younger, taking me to all these practices, getting me out there, you know, all the expenses of playing baseball and the travel and everything. Biggest part of it as I got older, especially as, like, these phone calls started and I was talking to coaches and had to, like, talk logistics with them. It was super overwhelming. And they gave me the best advice. My mom and dad would help me out with everything, just giving me as much support as possible, leaving the decision open to me to the point where they knew I would pick the right place. But there were times where I went to them, you know, in the last few weeks where things were still pretty out in the open of where I was going to go, where I was like, what do I do? And they always had the best advice for me. And I know they always will, but they've definitely played a huge role, you know, throughout my whole baseball career so far.
You know, along with family being such a big part, I know that, you know, some friends, the people around you also play pretty big roles in your baseball career. Obviously, you know, I've seen the behind the scenes stuff. So I know of your friend Austin. I've met him before. He's a great guy. You know, he's been a big part of your career so far. Most of the things that we see you do, whether it's articles or it's interviews, you know, he's mentioned a lot. So moving to Connecticut, you know, kind of putting that distance in between you guys has got to be rough. So what does that mean for all of that?
Yeah, no, Austin, I think we talked about Austin the first time I was on the show. I
know we did.
Know him pretty well.
Yep.
He's played a huge part, not just in baseball, but in my life and a lot of people's lives, especially my teammates, my friends, my family. But, you know, getting to know Austin really taught me a lot about life, really puts things in perspective and just makes me so grateful, not only for everything I have, but to have a kid like him around. You know, to be honest, I haven't really thought about that, Sean. Like going away from all that for now, just spend as much time with family, you know, the friends like Austin as I can. And he'll be around. I know whenever there's games and stuff, Austin and his parents are always there. They're always supporting, you know, as much as anybody. So spend as much time with them. Just thankful for the support that all of them have given me so far.
Jimmy, I wanted to know, you kind of went into it, I guess a little bit, but why Fairfield and what other options, if any, you want to talk about that you had and kind of what that decision-making process was like?
Yeah, it was definitely a crazy process and a long process. It started around, I think, the middle of my freshman year is when I got that first call. And, you know, I'm a junior now, so it didn't really come to a close until the beginning of my junior year. And my list, I had a huge list of schools, most of them which I never really even got to see or got in contact with. Like, it was interesting. Like, you'd go to a tournament, you pitch well, and then it's kind of like, who was there to see you? Who's going to reach out? Like, it's weird like that, which that's how the world works, I guess. But
yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was cool to get that experience. And I definitely learned a lot from it. But no, some of the schools, like in the final ones that I really liked, coaches I talked to a lot were like Holy Cross, Stony Brook, Elon was in there, Penn State was in there, Rutgers, definitely leaving out a few, like George Washington. But no, most of the schools, like Northeast, a few down south, like Florida Atlantic, I was really big on. But, you know, I was trying to describe this to my parents when we were visiting these schools. Like, there was a couple places I visited where I was like, oh, this might be the one. Like, you know, I got to give it some thought, but I think this definitely could be the one. And when I stepped on campus at Fairfield and walked around with Coach DeBackman, the pitching coach, you know, I kind of just got that feeling, like, from the campus. Like, yeah, this is definitely the place. Like, I just got, like, feeling of excitement. It just felt like I could feel at home there. And I was like, this is definitely the one. Like, I love this. I hope we can make it work. Thankfully, we were able to. Definitely a crazy process that picked up very quickly. Like, that first year I was only talking to 2-3 schools like once a month, and then towards the end it was like 3 or 4 calls every day with the coach, you know, figuring stuff out.
Do you think there was a game that was a turning point? I mean, Sean, remember that game we went to? We saw him pitch. It was like, it was one of your playoff games and you were just dominating. Was there a game that was like the turning point where you just got flooded with calls? So
that game you're talking about, that this is an interesting point about the whole recruiting process with COVID hitting where it did. No, I was unfortunate, but fortunate enough to where it didn't affect me too badly. Like, kids in the class above me or like below who their process was messed up. But the high school season last year, the 2021 season, there was no recruiting allowed. There was a dead period still for COVID. So like, I could talk to schools and stuff, but they couldn't come watch in person. So that was kind of like, I just had to hope I can get good video to send out to the guys I was talking to already. But the turning point for me, I had a solid high school season. I definitely could have done better. Like, I had some highlights, like you guys were at a good game, but definitely wasn't all smooth sailing. There were some rough spots. During the summer is when I really like kicked it in the gear. Like, I started feeling my stuff way better. Like, my pitches were all working. My velo went up. And when we went down to Georgia, my outing down there was definitely the turning point. Like, I came out of the bullpen, I think, in the third inning, and there was a good amount of schools there. I just had all my pitches working. You know, my velocity was up. I think it was like 3 innings. I had 5 or 6 strikeouts, didn't give up any hits. Like, I was just, I felt great. And after that is when I think by that night, I was talking to like 4 or 5 different schools that I hadn't talked to before. And just the weeks after that, it really picked up a lot, started talking to more places. That was beginning of August or end of July, I believe. And then a month and a half after that is when I committed. So that's like when I started realizing, like, all right, I'm getting close to making a decision now. Like, that's when I got my first offer or two. And then they all started coming in and things picked up.
You talked a little bit about what you've done in high school, how, you know, you You said it was good, but it could have been a little bit better. Are there any other things you'd like to accomplish before your collegiate career gets started?
Yeah. So my main goal, well, not goal, but my job now is to just prepare for Fairfield and get ready just to help them as best I can. But obviously I'm super excited for this high school season. You know, we have a great group over at St. Joe's. Last year we won the GMC tournament, our conference, and then we lost in states to a pretty good arm. You guys might know the name Shane Panzini. He was drafted a month after that in the MLB draft. So we got a tough play in the states, but this year we're all super excited. We've got a good team. We've got a couple Division I commits, and our goal is to definitely win the GMCs, and we're going for that state title. And I'm super excited. I think, you know, if we play our best baseball, we can do it. And I really can't wait, but that's definitely my goal. I want to get a trophy for St. Joe's. You know, we got one last year, hoping to bring another one back this year and hopefully make a run in states.
All right, Jimmy, I'll go next. I have a couple questions. So first, we've talked about on the show, Max Scherzer, how he is on the mound. He's kind of a psychopath. Like, he's just insane. And I'm not, you know, I wanted to know kind of how you are before a game. You know, like, I want to get like more inside of like how you are in games, you know, at the high school level. How are you preparing? Are you kind of ritualistic? Are you kind of getting in the game? And then how you are on the mound?
The kids at my school will tell you before a game, I'm like, no one come near me. Like I'm definitely like getting myself like locked in and ready to go. And during the game too, like I definitely get fired up probably too much sometimes, showing emotion. But like, you know, I think the whole recruiting process helped me too, because like it helps you be more mature on the field. Like if there's a call you don't agree with, like you learn not to show emotion, like not throw your hands in the air, give them a look, just make a better pitch, like kind of stuff like that, like just being more mature. But I'm definitely a superstitious guy, like always tie the right cleat first, stuff like that.
Okay.
I like that.
I'm definitely on game day. Like I'm locked in, very superstitious guy. And I definitely, when I get on the mound, I have like my whole mentality changes. Like I can't even think of a word to describe it. It's like, I guess it would be anger. Like I just find something to get mad at. That's what fuels me. But
what about music? What kind of music are you listening to, or if any?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, especially for baseball, because everyone's like, everyone in baseball, like the major leagues, is all country music.
Country, and like,
it's country or rap.
I like country, but like if I'm trying to get myself amped up, like country music doesn't do it for me. I don't know. I don't have a specific answer for that. But if I'm trying to get fired up, it's definitely not country. But
yeah,
that seems to be the most popular.
EDM or like, I'd love to change the world. Like, you know, the one that we bump in the car. Yeah. You know, growing up with Jimmy and, you know, obviously myself being in peak athletic form as well, you know, we've gone head to head in some sports. And I can say I've seen him, you know, he's locked in before. He gets pumped up. And that's definitely something I've seen on the mound from him before, too. But, you know, just wanted to add that in. But, Jimmy, one more question I have for you here. Do you have any guys, I know you're very different with, like, your release and how you pitch and everything. So do you have any guys that you like to either look up to or model your game after?
Yeah, you know, like you said, I definitely throw a lot different than most people. Like, being a sidearm, low arm slot guy, there's only a handful of them who are, like, in the major leagues or even the collegiate level. Like, it's not very common. So, like, I'm sure if you ask anyone else my age, like, they're like DeGrom, Scherzer, like you guys were saying, like those guys who are overpowering. But like, that's just not really me. Like, of course those guys are dominant, but that's not really how my pitching style is. But guys in the major leagues who I look at, like, I look at them all the time to try and just pick up stuff. But Darren O'Day, I love watching him. He's probably a little bit lower than I am. But
he's like throwing like
submarine.
He's straight submarining that thing. Yeah.
Him, the guy on the Blue Jays, I think his last name is Simber, Adam Simber, maybe.
I know what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, him. Even Sergio Romo, like I love watching him.
Oh yeah, he's more of a sidearm guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So
he's a freak on the mound too.
Yeah, I love that guy. But, you know, anyone who's kind of has a similar arm slot to me, even like he's a lefty, but Chris Sale, like he kind of comes from around there and he still throws hard, but he's kind of a lower arm slot guy. So I kind of try to pick up anything I can off of them, like see like how they pitch batters differently than someone who throws over the top or more traditional. But
you ever watch Randy Johnson clips?
A few of them. What's that?
You ever watch Randy Johnson clips? Because Chris Sale's.
Oh yeah.
You are,
Randy
yeah.
Johnson threw gas. He's fun to watch too.
Yeah, he was a nut, and for him to do it for as long as he did. Like because when he was winning all his Cy Youngs in the World Series, like he was in his mid to late 30s, like doing like it was absurd. And he wasn't juicing. And we've had those conversations both on the show and off the show. But kind of going back to kind of talking about kind of how your pitch, you know, like you said, it's a very unique style that's not over the top that traditionally pitchers, you know, pitch like. And, you know, when we talked about this right before we started the show is, you know, the fear of injury, you know, Tommy John, you know, the UCL tear is becoming more and more predominant in the league with all these tournaments, these AU tournaments, guys throwing harder at a very young age, putting all that stress on their elbow. Now you don't throw that hard, but you did say your velocity went up. So how are you, or what precaution are like you're taking, like your parents and kind of your coaches are making sure that you don't, you know, get hurt and fall into the trap of, you know, of that, you know, massive injury, because it's happened before. Like we've seen guys who have injured it early in their collegiate career and then have it happen again in the majors, and people have done it twice in the majors. So like, what are you doing to make sure that doesn't happen? And are you educated like on that specific injury?
Yeah, definitely with kids my age, that's a big deal now. There's actually a kid on our high school team, probably our best arm, who's coming off Tommy John. We didn't have him all of last year, but I definitely have the right people in my corner, like the Diamondbacks where I've been, and Wataka baseball where I pitch in the winter, and my parents too, and the guys at St. Joe's. Like everyone's really good with the arm care. You know, I have my program where, like, places where I get sore after I pitch, I make sure I strengthen that so there's no more stress anywhere else. But you know, it's really all like you can get into all the details. People have their different opinions, like resistance bands. Some people think running helps more. Some people think it doesn't. Like it's really based on the person, but I definitely take all the precautions I can, because, you know, it's possible no matter what you do to have an arm injury. But just strengthening, you know, flexibility and just everything to keep my arm safe. Mm-hmm. And I definitely have the right people helping me out to stay healthy. And hopefully I'll be fortunate enough to stay healthy too. But it's all really just about strengthening, you know, your weaker parts, getting more flexible, and just taking those right precautions.
Yeah. And I think that's good that you kind of mentioned the fact that you're kind of like, you kind of can pinpoint kind of like when you're sore, like, okay, what's causing that and how do I improve upon that? Because that's very key, especially at, you know, at a young age that you are right now, to kind of have that mindset now. Because as you get older and as you become better, you know, it's just in the long run, it's going to help you out tremendously. And I think you know that already. So, you know, that's kind of good. And then kind of, I guess, kind of your progression in terms of your pitches. Obviously you have the three pitches, like fastball, changeup, slider. Like, how are those progressing? How are those feeling? Which ones have improved? Which ones do you still need to kind of tweak before you can say, like, okay, I've mastered this pitch, before you move on to adding a fourth one in your arsenal?
Yeah. So like you said, right now I'm kind of fastball. And with my arm slot, I get so much run on my fastball. Some people call it a sinker. So fastball / sinker, I guess. And then a slider and a changeup are the three I have now. And the slider is the one I developed the last few years, and that's definitely become my best pitch. But you know, as I got older, like you can get away with two pitches for a while, but you kind of need to mix it up more, especially, you know, high school and definitely at the college level. So I've been developing a changeup. I think last year is really the first time I relied on it in games. Like if I'm behind in a count or I need to make a good pitch, like I trusted my changeup. And this winter has definitely been a big part of that, you know, developing it, because that's a good pitch, you know, to get me out of a jam and kind of keep people off balance. So the changeup is definitely like my work in progress right now, you know, still developing it. And especially, you know, as a junior in high school and at any level of baseball, like I feel like you never truly master a pitch. Like you can always get better, you can always improve something. And I'm definitely nowhere near mastering any of my pitches. You know, I still got a lot of work to do. You know, some of them have been successful. Definitely have work to do in all areas. But if a spot comes up where I can learn a fourth pitch or get something else to keep a hitter off balance, you know, I'd be all for it.
Is there a pitch that you want to learn or that you're like, I could possibly do it? Once the changeup is kind of like you think, okay, I can move on. Is there like a curveball, cutter, knuckleball? Yeah, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, right now, like my slider is with a curveball grip, technically, but just being my arm slot, it gets more horizontal movement. So I just call it a slider. But, you know, I feel like, I don't know, that's a tough question. That's a good question. Like, you can always improve stuff on other pitches, but maybe something with tighter spin, like a cutter, or something that spins with a little more velocity. Could be something I mix in, or a true sinker. You know, there's always more I can work on, I guess.
All right, now I'm going to ask a question that, you know, a lot of people are thinking they might be a little too scared to ask, but you know, it's the elephant in the room. Jimmy, why do you get no bitches?
I know you're actually. You're keeping this in. This is staying in.
I was like thinking of what you could be asking, and I was like, I don't know.
Hey, I actually do have a question, though. You know, we both like, you know, we'd like to go out to eat and stuff, but is there any specific meal you have a go-to meal? I know you said you're superstitious, so there anything you go to for your pregame meals?
That is a solid question, and I never had one until this past year, the high school season. We were all virtual for COVID, like to avoid any quarantines. So I was home and I was bored out of my mind. And I talked about I couldn't master pitches. Something I definitely did master is pancakes.
Oh!
Morning game, night game. I've mastered the pancake.
Hold on. Because I swear to God, this was one of my questions. Rank these three things. Pancakes, French toast, and waffles.
Well, we know what pancakes is number one.
You jump better, right into that. Pancakes, you better watch your for sure.
Correct. Oh, I was gonna correct.
Say. No question.
Because I know your mom makes some bomb French toast. So
yeah, that's the thing. She also makes some solid waffles too. That is tough. See, the thing is, I think really good French toast is better than a really good waffle.
That I agree with. If yeah,
correct.
But like, if we're talking like generic French toast over generic waffles, I know, just because that good French toast, I got to go French toast second, and waffles third.
Correct. That's the right answer. There's only one answer. It's pancake, French toast, and waffles. Thing, high heaven.
They're I'm not. Glad we're both as passionate about that. I love that.
Now, this is the show.
This is how we talk about, and we're not actually talking sports.
Like, yeah, we go on tangents.
Noah's territory.
Yeah, this is Noah's forte. No, but Jimmy. So then, are we putting some chocolate chips on it? Are we putting some maple syrup? Are we throwing some peanut butter on there?
Well, this is the other thing. During the season, I can't be putting on a ton of weight.
That's true.
So I keep the pancakes as healthy as possible. You know, I go like the protein pancakes.
Oh, the route. Kodak pancakes?
Yeah, a little Kodiak, throw some bananas in there, a little banana pancake. You can add in some chocolate chips, but I think banana chocolate chip is what I've mastered.
Okay.
That's definitely my thing.
Interesting. And then, wait, what was – okay, the other thing I wanted to ask, might as well just go into it. What is – okay, best dessert category? Okay, so you can go cookies, you can go brownies, you can go whatever dessert, cupcakes.
I was looking for one answer here. Don't say it.
I'm not saying it either. If he knows, if he gets it right, he's listened to the show a good amount.
Nobody, it's gotta be his. It's gotta be his.
Well, yeah.
But I
see, Sean, you know my mom. My mom is like so big into cooking and baking. That there's like a billion different options, but she's big on the cupcakes. Like that's definitely her thing. So that's my favorite of hers. I'm definitely a big fan of her like cookie ice cream cake. So kind of a combo of the two. So I'm going to go with that.
Cookie ice cream.
Hold on. It works.
That sounds good. I want to try that now.
Because cupcakes are actually an underrated dessert. But to me, the best two desserts are ice cream and then cookies. So to combine those two, like when we had that, remember we had that like cookie skillet with ice cream on it? Like,
On my birthday. Yeah.
That's like exactly what I'm talking about.
She makes that?
Yeah.
Okay. Amazing. All right. Jimmy has officially entered, like, he's initiated. His answer's absolutely perfect. Nothing wrong with it. I don't have to say anything more. I'm just going to mute myself.
I was gonna, oh, man. All right. Jeez. Wow. That's all the questions. I mean, I answered all my questions. Sean, you got any more?
I have some.
I know Noah, you got one.
Because I'm glad we got to like the more fun things, because I feel like we, you know, you should be able to showcase something outside of baseball too. So I wanted to know, because you kind of talked about who you look for in the game, who you watch, but like, are there any role models in your life and then in baseball or in any other sports, like you could kind of go with both, like that you really look up to or that have kind of directed you to your baseball career and just in life in general?
Yeah, I know most kids probably say this. Some of them probably, like some people probably just say this to have an answer, but my role models are definitely both of my parents, like seeing how hard they work and what they do for me. You know, I definitely look up to them. And you could get in more, but, you know, just having them around me and seeing everything they do, like, definitely inspires me and pushes me to do better. And as far as, like, a role model in the game, since I was younger, I always loved Dustin Pedroia, you know, seeing how hard he works. And it's a different kind of thing. But, like, he's always, like, he's told he's too small, you know, not good enough. And he's different in that way. And I feel like that's something similar to me, like a different arm angle. Like it's definitely different, looked at differently in baseball. So but even aside from that, just the way he played the game, like the way he hustled, how hard he played, how hard he worked, you know, even though his career got cut short out of injuries that were really not in his control. But he's definitely someone I looked up to, too. Yeah, I was gonna say Manny Machado. I didn't know if you want to get into it, but that'll get me heated.
Yeah,
you'd have to go pitch a game after that.
or that's your motivation. Just think of that and just get pissed.
Yeah, Manny Machado.
Then you'd hit him.
True. Then I'd hit the next like seven kids.
Or something even better, you could strike him out for. You know, to win a World Series title.
And the World Series and make his swing so bad he's shaped like a K. Sounds familiar.
Yankees fans don't really know anything about that, but.
You know, I had to go there. So since we're on the topic of now our teams, I got to ask, what's your thoughts? Now, if we have a season, we all know the MLBs, we're in a lockout.
No, we're gone.
The show, I mean, I hope so too, but we haven't really talked about it because we have other stuff to kind of talk about and they're kind of in this mediation process. But I guess for you, what are you looking for your Red Sox this season? I mean, you made it all the way to the ALCS. Obviously you lost to the Astros and obviously I was rooting for you guys. You know, I didn't want the Astros to win, but what are your expectations going into the season after knowing, okay, the Verdugo trade panned out? You know, Chris Sale is back, even though he's not the same, you know, he's still pitching. And then obviously you got your big boys in Bogarts and Devers. You know, what are you looking to do? Are you thinking division title? Do you think you can go back and make it back to another World Series?
I think this year they definitely played way above what people expected. Yep. And I think the only thing they've really lost since last season is Renfro, which I mean, I say that lightly. He was nuts for them at points last year, other than the playoffs where he was in a big slump. But no, I think it could go either way. Like the Red Sox are weird like that, where like last year I thought they were going to be awful. Like I'll admit it. I did not see them being that good. But Sale coming back, You know, he definitely didn't rush back. He took his time, but he didn't really get a chance to settle in a lot before the playoffs. So I'm hoping things go well for him this year and he's back to his old self, which we saw signs of it. Like even the game he threw against the Astros in the ALCS where they lost, like those first three innings, he was dominant. Like he was vintage Chris Sale. So I hope he can hopefully get back to that. And like Eovaldi just pitched like an ace last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very young. Like Sale's a little bit older. Eovaldi's getting there. But like you got Bogarts, Devers, you know, Bobby Dalbec. Duran is another guy I love, the outfielder who got called up and played a little bit this year. Even like Jeter Downs, who's not even in the league yet. You know, they drafted Blaze Jordan, who's literally almost my age, but the kid, he should be really good soon. And then like JD Martinez, you know, he has to play well if they're going to be good, but I definitely see them being competitive. And then it depends if they get hot at the right time, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had Kike Hernandez and Schwarber.
Yeah.
Went on tears when they got to the postseason. Like I feel like Devers and Bogarts got hot like in those last few regular season games to get them there. And then that's when Kike and Schwarber just exploded. Like they were going home run for home run at that point. But, you know, I feel like the MLB is like that, where whatever team gets hot at the right time. Like last year it was the Braves who happened to get hot at the right time, which was the entire postseason. But, you know, I think they have a shot. I think the Yankees are tough to beat. Like the AL East is just so competitive. But
and now with the Blue Jays getting, you know, getting their act together. Too. Yeah, and the Rays. Yeah.
It's, the Rays are always good. Like the Rays, they didn't even have that great. I mean, they had a good team, but it wasn't like you look at them on paper and you're like, yeah, that's a division leader type team. But they were definitely very good. And the Yankees, I won't even get into how I feel about them. It's like the MLB's pay to win at that point. But yeah. The Yankees are always going to be good. The Blue Jays are young and they're good. And then. I feel like I'll mention the Orioles because I feel bad. But the Orioles, I don't think we have to worry about.
No, we don't have to worry about that for a long time.
The Yankees are good. The Rays are good. The Blue Jays are good. The Red Sox are good. The Orioles.
Couldn't be much worse.
Yeah.
There you go. I like Mullins, but that's about all they have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's his name, though?
And the catcher.
And Mount.
Adley Rutschinson.
They have a couple. Yeah. They have a couple of players here and there, but yeah, it's just not, they're not putting it together. It is by far the
biggest cancer. Trey Mancini. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, Mancini.
That's a good story.
Great story. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Adley Rutschman will probably be in the league soon. The catcher that they just drafted.
That's what I was talking about him. Yeah. I mean, he's got a lot to prove. Everyone's really high on him.
Yeah.
Like definitely. He has a lot to kind of like, he's coming up with very high expectations. But
well, apparently he was the guy that, like, you know, bases are loaded, he's up, you walk him so that you could face the next batter. He's that type of sperry, apparently.
Yeah, damn, I saw some of him in college, and he can swing it for sure. Like, he is good. So we'll see if it carries over. Mm-hmm. It'll be cool to see.
Yeah, and someone who swung it for you guys to three championships, Big Poppy, got into the Hall of Fame a couple weeks ago. Snuck in 77% of the ballot, first ballot. People were kind of on the fence of like, is he gonna be first ballot, is he not, is he even worth it? We had this big discussion a couple weeks ago about it and the whole PED thing. You're a big Red Sox fan just like Sean is, so what was your initial reaction? And obviously you got to be happy for him, you know.
Yeah, super excited. No, that's like guy I watched growing up. But I mean, my argument for that, like, I don't understand how you look at a guy like Ortiz and his postseason record and, like, the things he did for the Red Sox. Like, every time the Red Sox needed a hit or needed a run and he was up, he literally came through every time. Like, I was at the game in the ALCS when they played the Tigers and he came up and hit the grand slam. Like, it was almost like to the point where he came up and no one was saying it, but in the back of your mind, you're like, please hit a grand slam. And he does, like, to tie the game. But I feel like he was just so clutch and such a good hitter, like 500 homers. He was one of the most clutch players in postseason history, like a lefty, a DH who was able to do that much. Like, I think no question Hall of Famer. And I agree that he should have been first ballot, which obviously I'm probably biased, but, you know, I think he definitely earned it.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I mean, you know, I'm a Yankee fan, but I mean, I think he deserved, I mean, I think he's a better DH than Edgar was, you know, I mean, Edgar kind of he paved the way and then Poppy took it to another level.
Yeah, and, no, you know, I agree. He was unreal. Even as he got older, like there was never a point where he fell off and you're like, man, it's time for him to retire. It was like, shoot, he's retiring. How are you going to replace him?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like kind of what we just went through with Tom Brady. You're like, crap. Because even Poppy's last season, he was putting up numbers. Like there was no decline like with A-Rod, who was a shell of himself and he retired. He couldn't even finish the damn season. Jeter wasn't what he was. He wasn't hitting 300 and, you know, hitting 10 home runs and having 200 hit seasons. He was batting like 240. Like he wasn't himself. So for him to do that, as long as he did, and to your point, being consistent and being, you know, when you knew, like to your point, I feel like everyone was like, even there were some people who had to be like, yeah, he's going to hit it. He's going to hit the grand slam. Even people watching on like, yeah, he's going to do it. You know,
and I like how you brought up consistency, because consistency is such a big thing in baseball. Like, you know, you see guys going slumps. You've seen guys who are like amazing, like Christian Yelich, have seasons so bad that he's a bronze in MLB The Show.
Do you think? Yeah, that's like that knee.
He went from a diamond to a bronze.
That knee injury really messed him up, though.
Yeah, I know. I get that.
But you're right. Like, he really fell off a cliff.
Yeah,
like,
he's not the first guy to completely fall off the face of the earth when it comes to baseball. Remember, like Chris Davis?
Yelich and Bellinger were like the, you know, it was like them fighting for the MVP. And then now them had just really rough
season. Yeah, both of them. That's right. Yeah.
Bellinger probably had – I mean, he had big hits in the playoffs, but his regular season was probably, like, the worst of his career.
And worse than Yelich. Like, he was horrible. But
yeah.
It's just crazy to see how it's so insane. Like Sean was saying, that the consistency is such a key thing. And a guy that I've been, like, really critical of is Bryce Harper, because – you know, in seasons past, I just felt like he wasn't living up to his potential. But last year, I mean, he was
unreal,
a stud. And if he does that, if he continues to do that, how can you blame him for the Phillies stinking? They're just not putting a really solid team around them. No pitching, you know. So it's just are interesting to see.
Yeah,
I agree.
And then we talked about it. It's like, you know, he's got two MVPs. It's him and Trout. They've been compared since day one. You know, Trout's getting injured. You know, hopefully I don't know if you guys saw that video of him in the batting cage a couple weeks ago. I think it was his dad getting ready and stuff. But Jimmy, like, what are your thoughts on kind of Harper and kind of how he's, you know, what were your thoughts when you first saw him in Washington and then now in like this whole Trout Harper comparison that's been going on since the last decade?
Yeah, I'm very up and down on Harper. Like, there's been times where I was like, man, I can't stand this guy. Like, he's like the whole thing with Papelbon. Like, obviously Papelbon's a nut, but like Harper flew out and like jogged to first base. Like, I hate seeing stuff like that. Like run the ball out. Like, you don't take a good swing. Like, I get you're in the major leagues. You're one of the best players in the world, but like respect the game at that point and hustle. And Papelbon, should he have got in his face and like screamed at him in front of the whole team on TV? No. But was he right in calling him out for it? 100%. And Harper like lost his mind and they got in like physical altercation. But then there's other times where I'm watching the Phillies and I see like, or even the Nationals at the time, like Harper just consistently coming through. And like at the season he had last year, like, you got to respect the guy. He's a great player. Yeah. And, you know, I think, I don't know, like I said, very up and down on him. There's things he does I don't like, but I definitely respect how good he is, because he's definitely a great player.
Yeah, also, the thing you mentioned about the Papelbon, that's a really cool story to bring up, because I saw somebody who worked for Barstool, his friend was on the team, or somebody he knew was on the team, and he said that as crazy as Papelbon was, the team was actually on his side, especially in that case. So, like, you know, not running it out there is a big, that's a big deal. So,
yeah.
Sorry to bring up.
Yeah. You know, I even like trying to think like a guy like Robinson Cano, who would, who probably hit into as many double plays as anyone and still would have hit into just as many. But like, if you even run those out, like just put pressure on the fielders. Like if they see, oh, he's he has two steps, I got to get rid of this. Like it'll even draw an error or something. Yeah. Like at least a few times, but like
and he got benched. He got benched.
Yeah, it was known for a while that it was like he wouldn't run stuff out, and I was critical of him when he was in New York. Like, dude, like we get it at the time. Like you had the smoothest swing in the game. You were the smoothest like second baseman at the time, but like. Mm-hmm. You can't be slick all the time. Like you got to at least show some heart.
It was a major problem. And also Gary Sanchez, there was a game against the Rays. It was the ninth inning. And the Yankees were down by a run. And I think the bases might've been loaded and he grounded out, but I guess he thought it was foul. So he wasn't, or he wasn't running it out hard and then started running it at the end. Like those kind of plays are so frustrating as a fan to watch. And have you been there, Jimmy, where you see a teammate do that and you're just like, what?
You know, like I hate that kind of stuff. And you obviously see, I mean, definitely not as common with kids my age because like everyone's playing so hard.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like those guys in the MLB, I guess you can kind of say like they're at the highest level of baseball. They're getting paid millions of dollars. They can do what they want. I don't personally agree with that, but you can make the argument.
I mean, I think it's your job. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's their job. Like,
you look at the best players in the game, like Trout, Tatis, like guys like that. Like, they play harder than anyone. Like, always taking the extra base. Trout. There's so many videos of him like getting infield singles or like turning a single into a double. Tatis is the same way. Like everyone talks about, oh, Tatis looks so cool sliding into second. Like, is there a single video of Cano ever like beating someone to second base, like sliding around a tag or something? No, because he probably got thrown out at first. Like,
yeah,
you're like, right. Guys like that who play hard.
Who? Did he do that once? Didn't he bunt for a double, Cano?
I think that was against the Red Sox. Actually,
I think it was.
They had the shift on, and he just laid one down the line and bunted.
That doesn't count. Trout would have had a triple.
Yeah. That's true. Here we go, Sean, with his like editorializing, like trying to, you know. Guys, the worst. He's the worst. But no, I'm joking. Of course. Okay, wait. Let me ask you a question, Jimmy. All right.
Yeah.
I see your room. You got pennants. You got like the Red Sox one. You got the Giants one. Are there any other teams that you're really like heavily into?
Yeah, the main teams like Red Sox, I'm crazy, probably too into it. Giants up there as much. I don't even know if I can talk about the Giants right now. Oh my god, that situation's a disaster.
Yeah, especially with Flores. We haven't even discussed about that on the show.
That's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
It's bad. It's really bad.
It's really. Yeah. It's so dumb.
Yeah, so Red Sox, Giants, Knicks for basketball. And then I think I can credit this to Sean and Sean's brother, Nico, like the past couple of years getting me into hockey. Now the point where you have me in my room screaming at my TV about the Rangers, too.
Let's go!
So now there's a fourth team to have me stressed out about and frustrated at my TV screaming. But
okay, Rangers. Are you like that fan who just screams at the TV, screams at the players, the refs, the other team, like that?
Sean will tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so bad. I get it from my dad for sure.
Wait, okay. Like, I have another. Do you get yelled at by your parents about that?
Yeah.
<Me too. laughs>
Yep.
Yep. Definitely.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Spot on.
Yeah, that's I'm telling you, they my mom will my days my dad's working the next day, she'll come up to me, she's like, Noah, go in the basement. I'm like there'll be days where the Rangers aren't playing and she'll be like that, and I'm like, they're not even playing today. She's like, I don't care. Go in the basement. I'm like, oh. I'm like, whoa, just take it easy, man. Calm down.
No, yeah, my mom definitely gets on me for that. My dad can't as much because he's the same way, and I'm probably like that because of him.
Like he has no room to talk. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
So you made me like this.
Yeah. Look what you did. Look what you did to me. Look what you did. Yeah, that's cool. Cause like I know some people who are fans and they know all about the teams and the sport, but like they're not like that, and I just couldn't imagine watching my favorite teams and not being like up, and you know what I mean, like it's just hard not to do that. So
especially when they're super competitive too. Yeah. Like watching the Giants this year, I was almost in front of my TV just like, wow. Yeah. I can't even get into this.
That's like, how I feel about the Jets too. Who gives a crap? It's like these games stink.
Red Sox playoff games, I watched most of them with Sean this year. I had one spot on our couch I wouldn't move from, and I was literally sweating like at the end of every game, like dripping sweat.
Yeah.
Every game that I'm watching on TV. But
if it wasn't for Sandy Leo, or no, not Sandy Leo.
Vasquez.
No, Christian Vasquez, dude. We would have had a really bad night.
that game, I felt like I threw 9 innings.
The
wild card game the Yankees played, I was at the Jonas Brothers concert, and I'm sitting there with my phone out, and it was the first inning went, or whenever they hit the home run,
Bogarts
baby
in the first inning.
Yep, follow the first.
And Jonas Brothers are just about to come on and start singing Soccer and All the Great Ones, and then I was in a terrible mood. Terrible. It was so horrible. It was terrible. It was awful. So.
Yeah, I'm the same way for sure.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm like that. I think I'll get into it and then like I'll get hyped. Like I feel like I have to be around people. Like I can't be alone.
That's a great point too.
Like when I'm like me and you, like because me and him, we zoomed during like the quarantine playoffs when the Yankees were going crazy against Cleveland. Like that was fun, but like if I'm alone, like I'll just be like silently just watching, just like thinking like please. And then like if something bad happens, I get silently angry. I don't scream. I've kind of gotten away from that, but I just won't talk. Sean knows.
I've seen. Oh my God, I felt bad for this, but this was really funny, dude. It was when the Yankees were playing the Astros in the ALCS, and you guys were down by one going into the ninth, and Aaron Judge, was it Judge?
LeMahieu.
DJ LeMahieu hits a game tying home run, and I'm like, Anthony, turn the game back on, bro. You guys just tied it. And Anthony's like, I don't want to watch it. I'm like, Anthony, turn it on. And he's like, fine. And he turns it on.
And I'll see the home run. Yeah, and I just see him. I just see Chip Chapman throw the flattest shape, and I'm just like, yeah.
Anthony's like,
and it. You know what? I remember I was at a wedding for that, and I'm yelling in the hotel room. I'm like, yeah. And then the next inning, it's just like it's such a downer. It's so brutal, just brutal. So
yeah,
that was a great game. Great, especially as a Red Sox fan, but
yeah, for you
especially,
guys.
Yeah, especially because we now know that Altuve literally had a buzzer under his shirt.
I hate that stuff.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm kidding.
No, you're right. Yeah, like the fact. Oh man, the fact that I have to feel sympathy for the Yankees, like,
yeah,
makes it that much worse.
I mean, it was pretty obvious, right? Like,
come on, like, don't touch my shirt. Like, come on, dude. Like that's kind of like a tradition. Like, people want to like rip off your jersey. And it's just like, even in 2017, it's like the splits were just ridiculous from home and away from them. It's just like, how could you not know that?
And also the fact that he was like, yeah, like, wasn't it something like, I got a new tattoo. My wife didn't.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
I was like, shut up.
He's like, I got a bad tattoo and my wife doesn't want to see it on TV.
Yeah.
Why? What?
Go home. Go home.
Yeah, that was rough. But yeah, I mean, look, the Red Sox are better than the Yankees. I'll say it, you guys are better than the Yankees since for the last 20 years.
Easily. It's not
you
even.
We go back 20 years and you guys have won. You guys have won three championships. We've only won one, and you've been to the playoffs just as many times, but you've made it farther.
How many championships did you just say?
Sean's going to four. Were they one?
Yeah, 3-1.
Yeah.
Sean, shut up.
Oh, 4-1. Fuck, I forgot. 4-1. I forgot the 2018 one.
Let's do 25. Can we do 25? Let's do 25.
Throw in the pinky. That's four.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, let's not get the thumb in there. We don't need a fifth.
Next year, baby, 2022. We'll see.
I swear to God. Might jump out of the window. Let's play some Big Sean.
Dude, Anthony, try it one day. Try jumping out.
I might just do it.
I'm serious. Me and my sister will watch the Rangers games. If they play bad, I'll be like, I'm jumping out that window. And she's like, aren't we on the first floor? I'm like, don't question it. Just let me know. It's like, oh, you know, like, too bad. Nose dead. You know, it's on the first floor.
Oh my God. I could keep this going on for hours, but you know, we gotta wrap it up. Jimmy, I love you, man. Thanks for joining us. It was fun.
Thank you.
You know, we're gonna keep rooting for you this season. I'm definitely gonna come out to some games.
I would love you gotta send the schedule because I would love to come to a game.
Yeah, for sure. I'll get it to Sean and I'll have him give it to you.
Yeah. They're not playing. When does it come? It's not out yet, is it? No.
No, it is, but I don't think actually most of it is. Yeah. But you know, like as rain and stuff, like things get moved around and then I don't know when I'm pitching yet and stuff. So I'll let you guys know for sure though.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Leah, let us know for you. Yeah. Cause I want to come out. I want to come out to a couple more games and, you know, try to support you in any way that I can. But with that being said, this is going to do it for this edition of the Sports Fever. We thank you as always for tuning in, listening every week and checking us out. We got, a lot more stuff coming. We got the Knicks Nets panel probably happening very soon. And that'll be an interesting one based on how the Nets and the Knicks are doing. Not that great. In fact, terribly, that both fans should probably just put a paper bag over their head and just be embarrassed of what kind of team they're putting out on the court. So we'll have that and that'll be interesting. And then, obviously, and I had to work on this still, getting our good friend and former guest of the show as well, Justin Davidovitz, and his girlfriend Gianna on the show for an interview as well. That'll be fun. But that's what we got coming up in the next couple of weeks. But we thank you for tuning in. If you want to check us out on our socials, you can, the_Sports_Fever on Instagram, on Twitter, the_Sports_Fever1, and you can shoot us an email at thesportsfever@gmail.com. That's going to do it for us. We will see you next week, Thursday at noon, for a brand new episode.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes on every podcasting platform that you can think of.